Do we have music coming up? We got music coming up in a bit.
Music?
Yeah, the beginning of the show.
Why in a bit? Why not now?
I can't just control when it starts.
What do you mean by that? Of course you control when it starts. You press the button.
I don't just press a button.
Oh, so this is the time that you actually set aside for me to say something stupid.
Usually, yeah. It is Fright Day. This is episode 18. I'm your host, Byron. And tonight, we're not talking about It Follows.
God, I wish we were.
Instead, we're watching a cabin horror film with a furry twist. We're talking about Zombievers. I'm here tonight with Kelly.
Hi, guys.
Talking to the mic.
And turn off your phone.
Jesus Christ.
Really?
Oh, shut up. Yours always dings. And I'm speaking into my mic, and I'm saying hello.
Sam's here, too.
He is.
Yeah. Hey, Sam. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Byron?
Great. Sam, you look really nice tonight.
You do too, huh?
Guys, turn it off a bit, all right? Let's settle it down.
Hey, Byron, what?
I was going to throw down a Muck quote right there, and then I decided not to.
I thought we were never going to talk about
it. Never mention that again.
We don't say the M word on this show.
We're a classy cat.
I don't know how
podcast.
I'm ever going to make it up to the fans. I feel so bad for putting that on the...
Are you going to apologize now?
Yeah.
Let's
so,
get this out of the
so,
way.
Yeah, I would like to make a formal apology for listing Muck in the top 13 indie horror films to look forward to in 2015. I would like to buy myself a little leeway by saying that a lot of people were talking about it.
It was pretty buzzy.
And it sounded interesting, but I really hope that we caught people before they watched it. Otherwise, I feel like I have to repay everyone an hour and a half. I seriously, I've had nightmares of guilt.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And that's all we have to say about that.
Yeah,
forever.
Sorry.
Forever.
It's dead. It's buried.
What'd you guys do this week?
I actually had a rather interesting development in my life today.
Right.
It turns out that I unfortunately share a family name, and I don't know if the relation is there, but I suspect it is because we're a fairly small clan.
Okay.
I share a family name with a gentleman who is known as Nedjo the Butcher.
Wait, what was that one more time?
Nedjo the Butcher.
Oh, okay.
Who took part in...
He's a butcher.
Well... Maybe, but...
Which is a lower class job.
In addition, that's... And I am so ashamed of that.
Yeah.
But in addition to his work in the butcher shop, he also participated in a genocide in Srebrenica.
Oh, that kind of butcher.
Serbia. In the 90s. And
in the
90s? Yes.
But
so,
not the 1890s.
You know, I have to check, but I believe since he's on trial currently.
Currently. He's still alive. Yeah. Not a vampire?
Possibly.
Because you know they're immortal.
I do know that. I don't think he's that delightful. To be known as Nedjo the Butcher in a circumstance where there were probably a lot of people that have really, really gruesome nicknames.
Yeah.
To stand out as the one guy right now that everyone's really upset at.
Yeah, like I heard his name on NPR going to work this morning, and that was the moment when I said, God, I was so smart to keep my own last name when we got married.
You know, that's good for the brand.
Yeah.
This one, anyway, I guess goes out to cousin Nedjo.
All right.
Don't. Oh, God. That's horrid.
Kelly, what'd you do this week?
It was my birthday.
Oh, really?
It was.
You didn't bother telling me.
I know.
And I can't make it to your salami and cheese party tomorrow.
I know. It stinks. It's actually more of an onion ring party, but...
Oh, that stinks, too. Well, here, happy birthday, Kelly.
Thank you.
I'm happy that it's your birthday.
Thanks, Byron.
You're
welcome. I appreciate it.
Well, what'd you guys watch this week?
We watched Carrie. I hadn't seen the new Carrie. We watched that. Here's the thing. It wasn't nearly as bad as I was anticipating. It certainly was not a great movie, but I was expecting it to be worse. And it's not like I've obviously been chomping at the bit to see it because it's been out for how long at this point, but...
I like Chloe Grace.
I do too.
I felt like
Morris?
That was lurking somewhere in there.
I just think that she...
Yeah, imagine that. Byron's going to talk about the good-looking...
No, hey, she's a child. Stop it. She's a child.
No, she's 18.
That's still... I'm not interested in her in that way.
Uh-huh. Kelly.
Mostly because she ruined Let the Right One In stuff.
But... Oh, I thought she did a good job in that.
We'll talk about it later. It's part of the news, but... I just thought that was kind of a bit of a misstep for her. I thought she was a better actress in that. The Carrie movie was fine. At the end, though.
That was the worst part by far. Actually, everything from after the last 2 minutes, the like pseudo epilogue was totally unnecessary.
Also, retroactive spoiler alert.
Did they do that in the original movie?
I don't know.
I've never seen
the original.
Whoa.
I've seen all of them. I don't care about Stephen King one way or the other.
All of them?
All of his. Yeah, all of them. All of
the 90s
them.
One?
Yes, the Rage, Carrie 2.
Yeah, the one with the pool thing that covers. Yep. Yeah, that was pretty tight. That was pretty tight. Did you watch anything else?
Yeah, we watched The Den.
Okay.
Which, on your recommendation, Byron.
What did you think? Did I steer you wrong?
No, I really liked it.
It was very good.
It went a much darker direction than it seemed from the marketing.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Did you watch anything else, or is that all for your week?
No. Death Watch.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that.
What is this Death is Watch?
So,
this
terrible
is me?
Title.
You didn't know that you were talking about you?
I think he was just saying to me, Kelly, this is me, shut up. I think that's what he was actually saying. Oh. Yeah.
I wasn't really saying that.
I think he was, but
that's okay. I get easily confused. Sometimes I don't understand if I'm talking or other people are talking and who
Death
is talking
Watch,
to
huh?
Who. Yes, it's a 2003 movie, I believe.
Oh,
it's set in the trenches of World War I. Okay. Yeah, and it's about this platoon of British soldiers who are trapped behind enemy lines and take shelter in a trench and quickly find out that it's not the enemy that's killing
it's
them.
It's not what's outside the trench.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was fine.
For the time, yeah.
Was that on Netflix?
It was on Netflix. So I wouldn't break down the door to watch it, but there's some interesting effects that were pretty well executed. Some cool ideas. Trench warfare was one of the grimmest chapters of human history, so that kind of has its own element of horror when it's well done. So
cool.
Yeah.
Kelly, did you watch anything by yourself?
No, not by myself.
Oh, did you watch anything else we didn't talk about?
We didn't talk about Cropsy yet.
We didn't.
Sam, you should talk about Cropsy.
Wait, why?
Because he paid closer attention than I did.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You watched Cropsy.
I evidently watched Cropsy alone.
No, I was watching, and I was just in and out a lot more than you were.
It was cool. It was interesting.
It's a documentary.
Yeah. It's kind of spins the tale of how urban legend was transferred onto a real... murder and how that affected the trial.
Multiple murders. It was supposedly a serial killer.
But it was also, one in particular.
Wasn't the legend of Cropsy the basis of Candyman? Is that right?
Ooh, it could have been. I don't know.
There's something about the building in Cropsy that had to do with Candyman.
I would believe it. I didn't do any research on it.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
Have you seen Killer Legends yet?
No, but you had mentioned that that's the follow-up to Cropsy.
So it takes like Cropsy's an urban legend about a killer,
like
of
a
children,
psycho killer that the typical scare your kids into staying at home.
Killer Legends was a follow up where they explored I think 4 or 5 different urban legends. One that off the top of my head is like razor blades or poison in candy.
They never caught me for that.
Also, I think the hook, you know, the hook. In the door.
Hanging on the car door when they leave Lover's Lane.
Yeah, I think they talked about that as well. And that kind of swirls into The Town That Dreaded Sundown and the history of that film as well. So Killer Legends, I think it's on Hulu Plus. I think everyone should watch that as well.
Cropsy's on Netflix. Yeah, we definitely need to watch that. Yeah, it was on Netflix. We need to watch that this week, though.
It was kind of interesting also because we talked so much last time about Waverly and... Danvers in Massachusetts.
That's right, yeah.
And the facility in Cropsy sounded like kind of in the same vein as those places, just terrible places of neglect and, you know, warehousing of the mentally disabled.
Do you think that our insane asylum has some sort of history like that? Warm Springs? Sounds like it should.
I don't know, but I can't remember if we've talked about this. I was doing some construction materials testing when they were remodeling the state hospital at Warm Springs, which was the, I think, Montana Territory, actually, before we were a state. It was their first It was a tuberculosis ward first, I believe, and then it's became a housing for the mentally ill, and it's called Warm Springs because they had warm springs there that were thought to have curative powers, which obviously didn't pan out. Oh. But when the oldest building on the campus, so from the late 1800s, I believe, early 1900s, was basically totally cleared out for the renovation, I kind of had the run of it to, you know, walk around and do my testing. So it was kind of cool to wander around there when there was nobody else in there and see the old patient lists and duty rosters, like, you know, on the walls. I actually salvaged a few bricks from it and one of the balusters, the, you know, the little supports that hold up a railing on the front of it, some of the original construction materials.
Them?
Yeah. Yeah, because they were tearing them out to replace them with ADA compliant stuff. So
maybe that's why your house is haunted.
It could be. But
don't steal bricks from crazy houses,
man. I
didn't
steal it. It was salvaged. All right, they were going to haul it all away. I said, can I have these? And they said, yeah.
At your own risk.
Yeah. So it was kind of cool. I mean, it was neat to wander around an old insane asylum.
Should have done an EVP, man. You should have done that.
I know.
No,
I actually thought about that. Except there's no such thing as ghosts or spirits.
Yeah, well,
or lingering energy.
It would have been fun.
It would have been.
Well,
that tangent.
I watched some things this week.
Byron, what did you watch this week?
I watched Summer of Blood, which came out on Netflix a couple of weeks ago. Have you guys seen that on the pop-up on your lists?
I don't believe I have, but...
Interesting. Maybe it's just because I'm such a fan of like the mumblecore, mumble horror genre. I don't know. Have you guys seen Baghead? Or like most of Adam Wingard's stuff is considered mumble?
Jughead.
Mumble
no, Baghead.
Baghead.
This is directed by Honor Tukel. He directed a movie called Richard's Wedding last year, which is kind of fun. This guy is really good at talking and improvising. It's pretty obvious that he's improvising throughout most of the script. He's hilarious, and this is a kind of a fun little indie twist on vampires. I don't know if it's for everyone, but you guys might enjoy it. You guys like vampires?
Love vampires.
Then you might like this. I also watched the finale of The Jinx.
Oh, everybody's talking about The Jinx.
Yeah.
Does it live up to the hype?
Show's fucking great. I love it. It's for people who don't know The Jinx, it's an interview with Robert Durst, who...
Oh, I do know all about this. He was a guy that was accused of... these killings.
Accused of being the lead singer of Limp Bizkit?
No, that's that? Fred.
Freddie.
Oh, Freddie right. Durst.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Is it Freddie? I thought it was Frederick Durst.
I'm pretty sure it's Frederick Durst.
I think he goes
Durst
by Fred, not Freddie.
I think we can call him whatever we want to.
But they were recording this documentary and like...
Don't spoil it.
It's in the news stories.
I know, but I think that that was wrong of them and I will not support the news stories.
How can they not put it in the news stories? Because it's what resulted in what's happening.
It's the last thing said in episode 6, the last episode of this 6-part documentary, and it is the lead headline of every news article about it. And I think it's so silly. Like, just because it's real life and it matters, they feel like the need to...
Because it resulted in him getting arrested the next day.
You're talking about people who've committed 6 hours to watching this, like Byron has.
It's true. If you don't know about The Jinx, I'm going to say this right now. Watch The Jinx first before Googling this stuff, because this is the resolution that I wanted from the Serial podcast. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I will never listen to it.
Well, you've just spoiled exactly what it is already by saying that.
I didn't.
Well,
No. So Robert Durst, his wife went missing in the 80s, and everyone thought that he killed her. And then what happened later is he moved, shaved his head, and decided to dress like a mute woman for several years. This guy also, Robert Durst.
Like a logical progression of
makes
things.
Sense. His family owns, I think it's like second or third most amount of property in Manhattan. So he's like a millionaire many times over. This is probably why he gets away with all this stuff.
So how is he, that's not right that someone that's that wealthy would be prosecuted for murder.
Right? I mean, they work so hard to make all this money.
Unbelievable.
So he moved to Texas. He didn't kill his roommate. It was self-defense, but he did dismember the body and throw it in a lake. He gets acquitted of murder charges because he says and successfully argued that it was self-defense that he shot his best friend.
Even though the evidence was all chopped up and thrown in a lake.
Whoa, Sam, just because he cut up the body doesn't mean he murdered a guy. That's what they kept arguing.
Oh, believe me, don't I know it.
And then later, one of the witnesses, his female best friend, ends up getting murdered on Christmas morning sometime in the 2000s.
Okay, Christmas morning, that's over the line.
It's pretty rough. But they don't really know if he did it.
Of course he did it. Everybody around him dies.
They're calling him the most unlucky man on Earth.
Sounds like he's just the most murder-happy man on Earth.
He's been real lucky.
Super interesting documentary. Everyone should watch this. And the end is very satisfying. Kelly, you didn't even watch it, and you feel like it's satisfying, right?
Yeah, agreed. Right.
And also, they made a movie about this starring Ryan Gosling and my favorite girl.
Kirsten Dunst. That's who this was about?
Yeah, the movie's based on the story.
No way!
And I believe that the people who made the documentary are the same people who directed that movie.
Oh, it's a great movie, actually.
Is it good?
Yeah, it cool. is good.
What's
it's really
it called?
Good.
All Good Things. Oh. I believe. I'm almost 100% certain.
I think that's right. I remember it was some completely unmemorable title, and I was like, that was a stupid name for a movie.
So watch The Jinx.
But I, of course, watched it because it had Gosling.
So. I watched the beginning of the first episode of iZombie.
And? Like Little Eye, Big Z.
Yeah, yeah.
And?
Not bad.
Really?
It's on the CW, so don't expect too much.
So
a lot of people compare it to Veronica Mars. It has those
people love that.
It's fun. It's about a girl who becomes a zombie. And now she helps solve crimes by eating the brains of the deceased and figuring out who killed them, because eating the brains lets her access the memories of the dead people.
Wow. Oh, and it's based on a
comic book.
Comic book, okay.
Yeah. That's all I did this week.
Well done.
Well, that's not all you did.
I feel like we all put some good effort into our horror viewing this week. Yeah, good job, everybody. Pat on the back.
I don't think it was effort. It didn't take much effort. It was good stuff.
Should I pat your back and you pat mine?
That sounds like a pretty good arrangement to me. I'll drop a contract.
Kelly, you can pat.
I'll just sit over here by myself.
Oh, just over yourself.
I'll just eat worms.
That's why we put you at that end of the table.
You can eat worms, or you could talk about trailers.
I like trailers.
How's the horizon looking in the world of horror?
Actually, good.
Pretty good.
I think it's just a nice season because everything's premiering at South by Southwest, so there's lots of buzz. You know, you got the upcoming Stanley Film Festival.
Oh, my God. Good.
I was going to make a joke about that, which cannot be named.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. The M word.
No.
Yeah.
We've been in kind of a dry spell for the past couple weeks. But now they're releasing all these trailers that are going to come out this summer.
So we just get really, really excited and wait until we see release dates.
We can't wait. Release dates for movies like Nina Forever. A teaser trailer was released this week.
I thought that looked really interesting.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty good too. I'm not exactly sure what it is, which is good.
Yeah.
It's got some smushy, blood drippy sound design.
Yeah, some real uncomfortable suction, sloshing, gross noises.
That kind of stuff. It seems pretty fun. It looks like a good little indie flick.
Yeah.
And the South by Southwesters seem to like it.
Yeah.
Apparently, Nina is a paramedic in training and works at a supermarket. That's all they say. She likes Rob. Rob's a character in this movie. That's all. Not much of a synopsis.
Yeah, but it looks really interesting. You have to see the preview because it's really not... Who knows what it's about? And I love previews like that.
It's weird. Where would someone find a preview for a movie like that?
You know, I bet you could go on the frightday.com website. They've got some great trailers up there.
You know what, Kelly? I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the next one that we watched?
We watched a trailer for a movie I think Santa's going to really appreciate. A movie called Stung.
I thought Stung... showed real promise.
Real promise. A fancy garden party turns into upper-class prey when a colony of killer wasps mutates into 7-foot-tall predators.
Wasps, not bees.
Definitely not bees.
Yeah.
It looks fun.
Yeah, it looks fun.
How many more of these movies are going to come out?
A lot.
We got Piranha.
As long as there's any money to be made, they'll keep coming.
Oh, they did announce Sharknado 3, by the way.
Thank God they didn't let that franchise die.
Of course, they got money to be made.
Okay, but the other preview...
chainsawed flying shark.
Hey guys, but the third preview we watched was definitely the best for Hangman.
Hey, I agree. Hangman looks fantastic. Found footage, maybe collected footage is a new term that they should use because it's got those...
I like that.
Collected footage because it's got mounted cameras.
Yeah, also POV, handheld.
It's more traditional, like the Paranormal Activity... breed of found footage. Yeah,
compiled from various sources.
Elements. I thought it looked really good.
Real gritty, and which is right up my alley.
I can't tell from the preview whether it's just home invasion or whether it's paranormal. Obviously, I'm rooting for paranormal.
Well, would you like me to spoil that for you and read a quick thing?
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
So, returning from vacation, the Miller family finds their home has been broken into. After cleaning up the mess, they continue to live their lives, shaking off the feeling of being violated. But little do they know, the nightmare has just begun.
That doesn't tell me.
Well, from the definitely
not supernatural.
From the elements of the trailer, my guess is that when these criminals, quote criminal, well, they are criminals, just maybe a different kind of criminal, when they broke in and potentially ransacked, they also installed some hidden cameras to collect this home invasion murder footage. That's my guess.
And then maybe stayed in there.
Maybe. I think it looks good. It looks super dark, super...
It does. No humor.
No humor.
And thank God.
We've been laughing a lot lately.
And there have been some great funny ones.
I hate smiling.
But I really like mixing it up. I think we need a nice, good
palate
mix.
Cleanser.
It's like you need meat and you need vegetables.
And this is the meat.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And that's all we have for trailers this week.
Yeah, you wanna
We could talk about some things that people have talked about.
Yeah, there's some pretty solid news out there.
We got news.
I will kick it off.
Oh.
If nobody else wants to.
Yes, you.
We kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, and now we're going to talk about it in news. Let the Right One In.
Great film.
Yeah.
Swedish masterpiece.
Yeah. In 2008, just kind of universally beloved, I think.
It's beautiful.
It's a great movie.
Falling snow opening gets me every time.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. And I actually liked the adaptation, not as much as the original, obviously.
The American remake?
But I thought it was good, yeah.
Ugh.
Let me in.
I thought it was good.
They took out all the atmosphere.
I thought it was good.
It was Hammer.
Well, I do trust Hammer, but... because Hammer is like the king of atmosphere, though, right?
Yeah, well, they were, but you know, recently
modern Hammer.
Ugh. Yeah. So anyway,
they're gonna strip it even more, right?
Exactly. They're gonna pull out whatever entrails are remaining within its lifeless corpse. Yeah, A&E has optioned the story, the original story, for a series, which I don't think is a good thing.
I trust them, but. Stop. That's all.
I mean, it fit into the package that it was delivered in.
Yeah. I don't know how they could expand this without showing too much. We already understand the characters at this point to the level that we need to. And I think the movie wrapped up as much as I needed it to. It did leave it open-ended, but it ended,
a sequel open-ended.
It ended the story, you know? Mm-hmm. It wrapped up what
but
was
I
going on.
I could see how they could do... additional chapters, they just follow her. Well, you know? Yeah.
It'll be cheesy.
Yes,
though.
Exactly. Like, I mean, it's very obvious they could do more, but they shouldn't.
Okay, well, I'm not a Debbie Downer, and I think it could be good.
Okay, you will.
Yeah. So there.
And what else is even on A&E?
Well, that's a good question. I actually had to look it up on their website, and it's kind of generally an embarrassment.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
With the exception of Bates Motel.
Which is excellent, and it's coming back in its third season pretty soon here.
And Bates is the only horror one that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, their reality TV sucks.
Duck Dynasty, Duck Commander, Before the Dynasty.
Wait, those are great. Those are really good shows.
Well, clearly, that's my point.
Yeah.
But no, I think that they're demonstrating that they do better in the genre of horror than they do in the genre of reality
and the
TV.
Genre
so,
of anything?
I wish they would move the horror route. Of course they do. Because, I mean, I think they did a good job with Bates. I hope they spread their money out and get rid of weird, bigoted reality TV shows.
Longmire is also on A&E, and I've heard good things
about
that.
I've heard great things
also.
About that. One of
From people other than my mom, but also my mom.
Anything else?
No, I don't, I mean...
No, on A&E.
Oh, on the show. Yeah, there are definitely a few. Wahlburgers, reality show about...
Okay, I actually kind of like that.
Come on, though.
It's cut.
That's not a necessary program.
No, it's not at all.
Most programs aren't necessary.
Yeah,
but some are less necessary.
Okay.
Country Bucks. Bucks.
What is that?
S with a dollar sign.
Gross, fuck off.
I have no idea, but I hate it.
All right, so... Let the Right One In. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't think that it's a digestible concept for the mass public.
I don't. Without dumbing it down to a point where it's just unwatchable for the rest of us.
The original movie is excellent. And if you haven't seen Let the Right One In, watch it. It's kind of a game changer. I think it was in my top 30 of October. I think it's great.
It's unquestionably one of the best, at least vampire movies of all time, if not.
I think it's my favorite vampire movie of all time. Yeah, watch it. Maybe don't watch this. I guess we'll keep you posted when we see...
Or somebody else could watch it for us and tell us.
Hey, I like that idea. Kelly?
No, you guys are mean.
Come on now.
Although I do love Hoarders, which is another 80s. Yuck.
That's a real horror show. I got some more news, though. This is more Mumblecore news, Byron's Mumble Corner.
That's all right.
That's all right. That's almost as good as Captain Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Byron's Mumble Corner is my new segment where I talk about mumble horror.
Oh, God, I can't wait to see the artwork.
Oh, it's going to be so generic.
Oh, he's looking at his toes.
Okay. So a movie called Manson Family Vacation, which debuted at South by Southwest this week, just got picked up by Netflix. How cool is that?
Exciting. That's nice. Fantastic.
You know how much I love those Duplass brothers.
You do.
I do. It's a little
That's
creepy.
That's because they're real mumbly.
They're the most mumbly. They're as mumbly as it gets.
Although you were pretty hard on Mark and Lazarus, but
I was...
Just pointing it out. Okay, just pointing it out.
Well, this movie does not star Mark Duplass. It stars his brother, Jay Duplass, who you may have seen in Transparent. It was an Amazon exclusive series.
Heard great things, haven't watched it.
I think
it
got an Emmy? Is that a thing?
Emmys are things, yes, Byron.
I think so. He co-writes and directs a lot of movies with Mark Duplass. One of my absolute favorite movies, The Puffy Chair. I talk about it all the time.
He does.
A movie called Baghead, which is kind of a mumble horror film. It's a term that's
kind
real.
Of?
That's a real term. Yeah. And also Jeff Who Lives at Home. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes. Have.
So
we actually liked that one.
See, Sam, that's a mumblecore movie that you liked. They're not all bad.
They aren't all
You're
bad.
You're just nodding. You're not going to admit. So I thought you hated mumblecore.
I do not hate mumblecore.
Sam hates everything, but then he doesn't really hate everything.
He has
to say he hates everything.
I hate you.
I think you're like Manson Family Vacation, though. Not a horror movie. I just want to say that right now. Not even a mumble horror movie.
I don't know. Manson's awfully horrible.
So this movie is the story of two brothers who embark on a strange sightseeing tour of crime scenes, hideouts, and jailhouses, all related to the notorious Manson family murders. The film explores the hero worship of Charles Manson and the importance of family. So two brothers coming together.
Is there a hero worship of Charles Manson? I mean, like, he shows up in a lot of pop culture stuff. It's interesting. I don't know if anybody listens to the Death Grips, but they're this...
Is that a band?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really like them, and they have this song that opens with a dialogue segment from an interview with Manson, and it's super cool,
it's
but I don't know
monologue.
That it's... It's yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. It's a monologue, but it's not done in like a hero worship kind of way. In fact, I think the name of the song is Beware, even. But it's, yeah.
Well, I think this is interesting because 2 years ago, I was in Los Angeles around Halloween. I was doing that tour of haunted houses and attractions. And I also may have went to the Sharon Tate murder house and then also may have taken my friend Jen out to try to find Spawn Ranch and do all this kind of stuff.
What's Spawn Ranch?
Spawn Ranch is where the Manson followers lived. It was an abandoned movie set in the desert.
Ooh, I did
north
not know
of
about
California.
This.
You didn't
I didn't know
that?
About this, huh? Well, I actually don't know a lot of the Manson trivia.
Charlie's pretty interesting. I wouldn't say he's a hero, but I think the whole story is really interesting. And I think this movie is going to be pretty cool. It was kickstarted for $40,000. It stars Jay Duplass and this guy named Linus Phillips. He's in a movie called Bass Ackwards, which is another of these little mumbly films.
Oh, and it's a play on ass backwards,
backwards.
But it's itself is backwards.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's a fun movie, and it's being directed by a guy who normally just edits. This is his first directorial movie, and he seems like a pretty cool guy. I watched the Kickstarter video about the movie. I think it's great that a movie that was Kickstarter for $40,000 is going to get purchased by Netflix.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Also, Netflix signed a 4-movie deal with the Duplass brothers, which is similar to the deal that Adam Sandler got a couple weeks ago. Did you hear about this?
No.
This is a lot of people are really bummed about this, but I think it's like the next six Adam Sandler films are going to come out exclusively through Netflix.
Six?
Yeah, something crazy.
There are going to be six more out of... Yeah, that bums me out.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird deal, but I think it's an interesting new way of...
Six.
Six, I know. That's the horror part of this story.
Oh, six.
This is a roundabout to get to the fact that Adam Sandler has new movies.
And they're all sequels to Grown Ups.
And one of these movies is not The Cobbler, unfortunately. Have you seen the trailer for this?
No.
Oh my God. So Adam Sandler... is a cobbler.
Like a shoe cobbler.
Like a shoe cobbler.
Okay.
That when
Does he live in a tree and make cookies?
No, okay. He doesn't. When he wears the shoes that he's fixing for people, he becomes them physically.
What?
Is it a children's movie?
Maybe.
Fuck.
He gets to walk a mile or more in the shoes of these people.
Oh, wow.
And there's this like kind of awkward like, he puts the shoes on of, so this really hot girl comes in and is like, could you fix my boyfriend's shoes? And then he puts her shoes on and then goes to try to have sex with her.
So probably not a children's
movie. No, but that's like such like a weird rapey. Like,
it's very rapey.
I don't know.
See, this bums me out because he's supposed to be like the nicest person ever.
I'm sure he is. I bet
he
is.
This makes me sad.
Click was his worst movie, in my opinion, other than...
Yeah, I didn't even see it because it looked so bad.
I just pretend that he never made anything after Happy Gilmore.
Hey, Funny People was fine. Come on now.
Funny People was good.
And Punch Drunk Love is probably one of my favorite movies.
Punch Drunk Love is amazing. I love Spanglish, too. I think Spanglish is great.
If he does another Punch Drunk Love movie for Netflix, I'd like that. But I don't think he will. I think Netflix is cool. I think that this Manson Family Vacation movie is going to be pretty fun. And it's kind of come out later this year through Netflix.
Okay,
cool. I think that's all my news stories. Is that all your news stories?
I'm really hoping I can figure out something so we don't have to talk.
Oh, no. I have one. Wait.
Is it not Supernatural?
Yeah, it's about that movie Catatonic, the virtual reality movie. This is kind of cool. So it's being called a virtual reality film, but really it sounds more like a virtual reality experience, and it's being shown around. It's moving around at South by Southwest right now. And
so is this a film or is it a...
It's called a film. I mean, it's got a director, okay. Guy Shelmerdine.
That's a fake name.
Shelmerdine?
Not a real name.
No, it's real.
Okay.
I'm probably pronouncing it wrong,
That's
but it's
fine.
Real.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is like a traditional insane asylum film. And part of the experience is you get strapped into a wheelchair and you put on, obviously, the virtual reality headset, and it wheels you down the hallways at this mental institution from the 1950s. And you go through these like more and more disturbing scenes, and then you eventually end up in a chapel and you're basically drugged to death.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be really creepy. And the seat was built with a butt kicker, which is like things that rattle your seat, like when you're playing racing video games.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be really cool. I there's no mention of whether it's going to go on a tour anywhere or, you know, have experiences around the country other than South by Southwest. I'm sure it will. My fingers are really crossed that it makes an appearance at the Stanley, because that would be super fun to go see.
To me, this seems more like a concept for like a bigger idea.
It kind of sounds like some of the 3D movie / rides at like some
amusement
of the theme parks.
Yeah. It seems really interesting, though.
Has
that director done anything else, or is it just
The only thing he's done is Catatonic, but Catatonic shows up on IMDb.
On IMDb as a thing. It's not listed as a short?
It is listed as a short.
Okay. Well, that's really cool. I like that idea.
I do too. Okay, so...
What?
Wait, what? Captain Kelly...
Oh, no. We're going
to
scratch that.
...says it's time to set sail...
Yar! Come aboard!
...on the ocean of mystery.
Oh, fucking nautical. No. That's terrible.
It's time for Kelly's cryptid.
No, Captain Kelly's. We've been through this. It's changed.
Kelly's
We've evolved.
Cryptid.
Captain Kelly's.
I don't think that's evolving.
Captain Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Yes.
Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Okay. So it is a bit of a light week for Captain Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies, simply because I'm really kind of burying myself in this MK Ultra research, but I'm not to the point where I want to do a big shindig on it. So my head's been really kind of down that rabbit hole. But a couple smaller things. So first of all, there's a story about this woman who has four kids and over the last 3 months has been recording poltergeist happenings at her home. A lot of people do this. This isn't a new thing. However, people have analyzed the videos and have given it at this point a decent degree of credibility. The woman's name is Donna Ayers. She's 33 and she's British. So she's got a great accent. It's really fun to watch. Yeah,
why, God, they're so British.
So think about it. England's, you know, got more history than we do. So they've got more ghosts.
Yeah, okay.
Makes sense. So she lives in Blackpool, England, which is just a fun place for a ghost, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are a whole... So this video's up on YouTube. We'll obviously put it up on frightday.com, so be sure to check it out. But kind of the culmination is this spoon that looks like it's moving by itself. There are enough things in it. I mean, of course, you can probably figure out a way that all of it could have been faked. It's an interesting enough collection. And she talks about basically crazy things started happening after her brother died in 2009.
So he's a poltergeist?
Could be.
What's
could
a poltergeist be versus a ghost?
A poltergeist, I think, literally translates to like playful ghost.
Oh, okay.
It's so poltergeist, typically they're not
energy
mean.
And is not like directed or focused. It just happens. Is that
well,
accurate?
I think a poltergeist is typically, you know, they're very frequently associated with childlike spirits.
Okay.
It's not a demonic thing. It's typically very playful. But I think that it is, Sam, isn't it attributed to actual, you know, some ghost being there and purposefully engaging with the people?
So I am just checking out this kind of paranormal reference page called Wikipedia. It's a noisy ghost.
Oh,
in
noisy
German
ghost.
It's a type of ghost or other supernatural being supposedly responsible for physical disturbances such as loud noises and objects moved around or destroyed. Most accounts of poltergeists describe movement or levitation of objects. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
there's a lot more. It's a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
You could blah all day.
I could blah.
So, but there's some interesting things in this video. There's a chandelier moving. There are flowers and a vase kind of rustling.
Are they on a fault line?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Next to a train?
It's a coffee cup moving across a counter. I don't know. All I can think about is the fact that she's got kids and it sounds terrifying to be around it. Although it's not like anything's been threatening, it doesn't sound like. I shouldn't say that. I should say nothing's been threatening to the children. But she says she's woken up with bruises some mornings. And there was one specific event where she was pinned to the bed. So let's really hope it's not the ghost of her brother.
That could be sleep paralysis.
That's true.
Yeah, or sleep rape.
Well, and sleep paralysis is tied to anxiety. So even if there was poltergeist activity going on, it could be that she's freaking herself out enough that it's resulting in sleep paralysis too. So it could actually be a combination of both things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so we'll put up the video. The other story that I have is really, really morbid, but I thought it was interesting.
I love it already.
Yeah. So...
Could I have said that creepier?
Yeah, that was actually pretty creepy.
Thanks. It just kind of makes me happy.
That was pretty creepy.
Pretty good.
So there's a new book that is written by a New York Police Department, Lieutenant Frank Mara.
Oh, is that the guy that did the movie we watched earlier last year?
Deliverers from Evil?
No.
Good.
No.
I don't trust that
this
guy.
I don't think it is, at least. We should double check, but I'm pretty sure it isn't. The book's called From Landfill to Hallowed Ground, and it's about his experiences following 9/11. I had no idea that the landfill they were taking things to after 9/11, did you guys know this? It was called Fresh Kills. Like, that's actually the name of the landfill.
Like, before the event?
I don't know.
Ugh.
Yeah, isn't that gross and horrific? So
is it one word? So it's kind of charming?
No, two words. Fresh Kills.
But Jesus. I think Kills has another name.
Another.
Like, geographic meaning also.
It could be. Sam, you do some research on that while I continue doing this. So interestingly, though, he talks about all of the ghosts that he and other people have seen in conjunction with this debris. Obviously a horrific scene where a lot of people lost their lives, so it would make sense that there's some ghosts haunting it. But one of the ghosts that he talks about, this is kind of weird, it was definitely not a ghost from the event. Apparently this was the day of the event or shortly after the event. They were searching through the debris and, well, there was this woman, an African-American woman dressed in white. She looked like a Red Cross worker from like World War II.
Okay.
She was carrying a tray of sandwiches. And at first they thought, oh, that's really nice. She's trying to help us, you know, because it was first responders. So she was, they're like, oh, she's trying to come and help us out. But then all of a sudden she disappeared. So
but were the sandwiches still there?
No, the sandwiches were gone. Shoot. Too. Sorry.
Okay. Wait, what's okay. a kill?
So a kill is a noun. This is from dictionary.com. A noun chiefly found in New York State. A channel, creek, stream, river, used especially in place names such as Kill Van Cole, is their example.
Ooh, okay. I like that too.
It's from the Dutch.
So that's still really creepy.
Yeah, don't do that.
The landfill's called.
Yeah, why are they doing that?
I mean, like, change the name of the landfill, for the love of God.
The freedom kill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
America.
Or something. I mean, something other than that. It was pretty bad. So, and apparently there have been other creepy things spotted, large black masses and shadows. But I mean, obviously, this is the largest crime scene in American history. And they took all the debris and moved it to this landfill. So if the ghosts are in any way attached to that, then it makes sense that there would be a huge situation going on there.
And is this north of New York? Where is this?
Staten Island.
Oh, it is Staten Island. Okay.
Yep.
The place is spooky.
The home of Cropsey.
Well, and so one more quick thing.
Okay.
So, you know, and it's been long enough that it's weird. I find myself feeling really old when I think about, you know, when this first happened. But I guess I didn't realize this. The remains of more than 1,000 victims were never found. So, like, that means that within that debris, there are basically remnants of 1,000 victims.
Yeah.
So if there's such thing as ghosts, it almost seems like there has to be a haunting attached to that. That's just horrific. So
I never thought of it like that. I didn't know that the number is that big.
I didn't either.
Because didn't they say 2,000 people died total?
2,600, I think.
Yeah.
And they've identified 1,600. There's more than 1,000.
They're just mangled.
Yeah. And so they're in that debris. I mean, that's just terrifying to think about. So, yeah.
It's a lot of ghosts.
I know. It's really weird. I wonder if somebody would do a horror film about it because it's someday. Obviously
it's pretty raw at this point. Yeah.
I just don't know when it ever won't be. It's almost like the Holocaust, I guess.
Yeah, but
it's
we do Civil War horror films all the time.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Yeah. So that is Kelly's, pardon me, Captain Kelly's cryptids and conspiracies for the week. And I promise a more thorough report next week with lots about the MK Ultra saga.
Could you fit Classy in there somewhere?
No, I really just like Captain.
That was yo-ho horrific.
Nice.
That, on the other hand,
thanks,
was
Byron.
Fantastic.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was great.
What do you say we talk about a movie about undead beavers?
I think we would be greatly remiss not
Surprisingly,
to.
I think that'd be a great idea, too.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about zombievers. Zombievers. Do I have a lisp?
What do I wear tomorrow?
You're enjoying your visit here this evening. Now, on with the show.
Zombievers, a Jordan Rubin movie starring Rachel Melvin, Peter Gilroy, Courtney Palm, Hutch Dano, which is my favorite name.
It's a great name.
Fantastic name, even if he's not Paul's related brother. To Paul Dano.
I wish it was. It's another Dano. If we had multiple Danos in this world,
it'd be a great thing.
Which we do, I guess. Jake Weary is also in this movie. Sam, would you want to? I mean, it's pretty obvious. But do you want to tell us what Zombievers is about?
Yeah, so it's about Zombievers.
Okay, which is it's a hybrid. It's
so three gal pals head to a girls' weekend at their relative's lake cabin in rural Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Great place for a lake cabin.
Unbeknownst to them, a truck carrying some type of toxic waste has spilled a barrel of the ooze into the lake. And
generic ooze.
Yeah, just ooze. You know, you've seen it. It's green. It glows.
We've all seen the ooze.
And it drifts promptly over to a beaver dam where maybe
zombie.
I don't have anything witty to say about it.
Yeah.
That turns the beavers into zombies, and the rest of the movie is spent watching the three female protagonists and their idiot boyfriends try to escape.
Yeah. I didn't go in expecting a lot out of this movie, which I think helped. I also think that the film that shall not be named that we watched last week really helped boost this one. It's like when you date a complete asshole, the next guy just looks that much better by comparison. So I
still think this all of that aside, cute. This is a cute movie.
Yeah, I still think that, and I, Byron, you and I talked about this briefly during the movie, but I'm trying to figure out why it works. I don't know that I can explain why, other than saying it was just the right amount of funny, just the right amount of over the top. It was very clear that it was not taking itself seriously, but it was still serious enough that it was actually a cohesive film. The acting was perfect for what it was.
Everything that's wrong about this movie, I'm pretty sure they were fully aware of.
Yes.
And a handful of times I found myself saying the problem out loud.
I enjoyed these times.
To be...
Yeah.
They repeated exactly what I said back and acknowledged what was wrong.
Yeah. Like she's holding a gun and Byron says, "Where'd she get the gun?" And literally the next words out of her mouth on the screen were, "I got the gun out of the glove box."
Yeah, it's amazing. They were in... It was very good tonal control throughout. The concept of this movie is not new.
No.
It's in a cabin. It's got zombies. It's got the typical, like...
The toxic ooze.
The toxic ooze.
It creates the monsters.
The dumb boyfriends. The bitchy female protagonist. It's got everything that you've seen before, but for some reason... It felt all right. The dialogue wasn't exceptional, but it was fine.
And it was perfect for what the movie was.
We talked about that, you know, partway through, where really we're watching something that could, in concept, have been a Sci-Fi Channel original, yet it didn't feel that way.
It's almost unexplainable.
It is. It's really weird.
It's self-aware without being too obvious or blunt about it.
Just really enjoyable. Like a really fun movie to sit down and watch. It's certainly, you know, it's not going to be on the most groundbreaking horror film list, but it was really an enjoyable, well-executed movie.
This might be the most fun I've had so far, though, this year. I want to say that. It's early in the year, but...
I'm not going to lie. I think I had more fun watching What We Do in the Shadows.
I guess we watched it this year. I'm saying
in 2000. You saw it last year. How many times are you going to rub that in?
I don't know. As many times as I can
slip
it in.
I thought we were past that, Byron.
No, I can't help it. I'm sorry.
So I think the listeners are probably asking, hey, Fright Day, so they're zombie beavers. Like, how do they make the zombie beavers? Well, they're puppets.
They're puppets. And... That was even better. Like, they didn't try to... They CG'd some of the beavers.
Yeah, with mixed results.
Which is one of the major downfalls of this movie for me.
Right.
But the animatronics and the puppetry that they used for the beavers...
It reminded me of Caddyshack.
It did kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Why did it work so well? They didn't look good, but they looked fun. And I think they embraced that. This movie's all about embracing... what it is and just
no pretense of being, you know, groundbreaking, intellectual, shocking, whatever some movies slap up on their marquee.
Cooked to perfection.
Agreed.
It reminded me a little bit of Piranha 3D. In have you seen that at all?
No.
I haven't because...
Because of this
gestures
one?
To Kelly.
Uh-huh. I think you should...
Why? I haven't stopped you from watching that. I wouldn't
Let's
stop
watch
you from
it.
Watching
it. Let's watch it tonight.
Okay.
Because Piranha 3D had a similar feel of just being exactly... Excuse me, I threw up in my hand. Exactly what it is.
D, sweet D over there.
Which by itself is not a problem, but that he keeps on podcasting.
It doesn't.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. I even lost my train of thought. So sorry, Audie. Doesn't matter. It's okay. This movie's fun. Tonally, it knows exactly what it wants to be, and it doesn't stutter. It's a cohesive project. It's got some great cameos. The creature design, did you know who it was done by?
Was it done by Creature Effects?
Creature Effects, yes. Yeah. I found out, did stuff for 300 and I Am Legend.
Really?
So they're kind of known in the industry as some pretty, pretty decent effects people.
Yeah.
And I thought it looked good. Everything was effective. They didn't try too hard.
The characters are all, you know, fairly one-dimensional, but they were... mostly consistent throughout the movie.
Yeah.
You didn't have just weird motivations coming out of left field. It was...
They had some love triangle stuff they threw in, which is a horror trope. Yeah. But
they went in depth enough to explain, but not too far to get annoying.
It wasn't distracting. Yep. It felt like it was good filler.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Especially my favorite part of this movie, which I don't think Kelly liked as much, but Peter Gilroy, I don't know what his character's name is. I know him because he's part of the comedy group Bath Boys Comedy on YouTube, which he's got some really good lines. Like he consistently talked about how his dick fell asleep and that's why he needs to stay at the cabin with them.
Right.
And also when he was having sex with that girl, he said, "I feel like a Power Ranger."
Which
makes
pretty awesomely ridiculous.
He is
no sense.
But... He's the best at being the worst character.
Yes,
and
yes,
I loved it. It was a good movie. Surprising, because we didn't go into this. It Follows. We didn't get a chance to watch because our local theater is not getting it until next week. Maybe.
Yeah, Byron. I hate to break bad news, but I just checked, and it definitely is not coming this weekend.
Oh God, it's
like just, for sure.
They're killing me. They're killing me.
They really are dicking us around.
Yeah, it's making me real sad.
Going into this, I had a mindset of like, oh, fuck. We
could be watching It Follows.
We're going to be filling this gap with something just steps above that movie that we will not ever talk about again.
And ever. I think we're all feeling a little bad about how mean we've had to be to some movies lately.
Yeah.
So I was, I was really happy with the direction this one went.
I guess I have a couple things to talk about in spoilers. Do you think there's anything else?
Dead giveaways? Do you mean dead giveaways, Byron?
Yes, I apologize. That's my bad. I edit the show.
Byron.
I should know this.
That's okay.
Do you have anything else that you want to talk about before we enter that?
No, I think we're good. I'm good to go into dead giveaways.
Yeah, okay. Let's tell everyone everything about it.
This is the point in the show where we spoil a movie. If you don't want this movie ruined, I highly recommend you pause right now and watch Zombievers, which is available on VOD and I believe DVD right now.
Correct.
Before you continue. So here we go. Transformations?
Transformations were pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Who saw that coming?
No.
Yeah.
When we thought it was going to go the horror... lesbian makeout scene.
Oh God!
Which on is, the bed.
Yeah,
and instead,
like literally, as all of us were sitting there, going, "Oh, really? They're gonna do this, really?" And then, bam! Shazam!
So it turns out that the
worst,
whatever the toxic ooze caused in the beavers to be zombies, when it's transmitted through bites to human, it doesn't just make humans turn into zombies.
Which would be logical.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
What does it do?
It turns you into some sort of zombiever human hybrid.
Yeah, with a tail and
an amazing creature.
I love it. The transformations, very like kind of, it felt like werewolf transformations in a way.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So the beaver teeth come out of your normal teeth hole.
And push all the normal teeth and so they fall out.
Uh-huh. Wow. And you sprout a tail. You get the fingernails coming under your normal fingernails. Yeah. It's very, very werewolf transformation.
Yeah.
It was great. I thought it was a combination CG and practical effects, but that scene, that worked, I thought. I was wondering when that was going to happen because she got scratched pretty early on. And I was like, they're just going to ignore that?
True.
This is true.
But it was smart. Like, you didn't see that coming. I didn't see it coming.
Correct.
Very
correct.
Smart. What else? The whack-a-beaver scene was great.
Oh, yeah. The scene where the two of the characters are trapped in the house and the beavers keep punching up through the floorboards underneath their feet and with baseball bats.
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep bashing the beavers down one at a time, a la whack-a-mole.
There's another scene in this movie that I think Kelly liked a lot.
I liked a lot of scenes. Which one?
It involved the neighbors and why they weren't alerted by all the noise at the house next door.
Yeah. So the motherly neighbor.
They're very white bread.
Right.
Middle American,
right.
Middle-aged people.
And the motherly neighbor makes some comment to her husband about all the racket next door. And the husband goes, They're just scissoring each other to Lady Gaga.
It's so good.
While reading Fishing Magazine in his easy chair.
That could have been bad and it could have been dumb. But it was perfect. Somehow it worked.
It was perfect. Just the use of scissoring was fantastic.
Just the over-the-top camp really worked.
And this is the directorial debut by Jordan Rubin, who has no experience in this kind of writing.
So you were ready to tear him apart on his previous experience coming
into
this.
I looked him up on IMDb, and he's done some pretty good writing. He wrote for... some award shows. Like, did he write for the Academy Awards? A couple of those bigger...
Depends on which one he wrote for.
That's
whether it's
true. But he also wrote for the Miss America pageant, the MTV Movie Awards.
Rough.
Comedy Central's Cranky Anchors.
Which
I don't
love.
Even know what that is.
Like the Jerky Boys except puppets.
Yeah, they make prank phone calls and then animate them with hand
puppets.
Oh,
I did see that.
It was weird. It was a different time for us. Last Call to Carson Daly and The Man Show. So he's... done a lot of really interesting writing projects that have nothing to do with horror film or even comedy film, just no film at all. So going into this, it's like, this guy's going to fucking blow. He's going to suck all the energy out of this and just drop one-liners constantly. But it made sense. I liked it all. I think he did a great job, and I hope he does some other stuff. This movie debuted at Tribeca Film Festival in 2014. Which is pretty significant.
Yeah.
The actresses overall, what did you think?
I thought that they were absolutely perfect for what it was. I mean, none of them were great legendary actresses, I don't think.
B-horror.
Yeah, but they weren't what we saw last week.
I think Rachel Melvin did a really good job. She's the one with the glasses. The only movie that I know her from is Dumb and Dumber 2.
Sad.
Which is one that not many people should watch. But she did great in that too. She was like the highlight of that. I'm really surprised by this. I
was not expecting anything at all.
I would recommend this movie to people. Turn it on, eat popcorn, have fun. I don't know.
I like it.
So as long as we're ruining the entire movie.
Spoil.
We kept trying to figure out where they were going to go for the sequel. Like one of the beavers is going to swim way down the river or stow away in the back of the truck. I mean, the movie is made for a sequel.
Yeah.
So, huge spoiler alert at the end. Was this after the credits?
This maybe is post-credits.
Post-credits, yeah. We see a corpse of one of the zombievers laying in the reeds and a bee lands on that open sore that's festering there in the sun and then flies up in the air and back to its like buzzing hive up in the trees.
That's so good.
So, it's zombies. It's going to be zombies.
I can't wait for zombies. This is going to be so good.
I pooped a little when I saw that.
Of course you did. We had just wrapped up a movie that surprised us all and then they give us another shocker.
Great.
Can't handle it.
Great.
That. Zombies, probably going to be a lot of CG. I hope the budget's bigger. I don't know what the budget of this was, but I can't imagine it was a lot.
No, they did great work with what I assume was some pretty hefty financial constraints.
I would imagine this is going to be on Netflix Instant at some point, but I do think you should rent this on VOD. You have to support these directors and
absolutely.
These actors.
Absolutely. Please do.
I want to see more from everyone involved with this movie.
Couldn't agree more.
Personally.
Could not agree more.
Sam, what would you rate this movie?
I would have to give it, I'm going to go 6.5.
Okay.
I think.
Good.
Yeah.
You liked it.
I did. I liked it a lot. I think that to go any higher than the 6.5, I feel like it would have to have some better production values.
Hold tight. I forgot something very important. The cameos we mentioned at the beginning.
We have to talk about the cameos.
Yeah. So the movie opens and closes with cameos by Bill Burr, who's a stand-up comedian, also has a podcast that everyone should listen to. It's one guy. Bill Burr talks for like an hour by himself. I don't know how he does it.
Coke.
Maybe cocaine. Either way, I think he's great. And in this movie, he's a driver of the truck that carries the
drum of toxic waste.
Whatever it is.
Or whatever, yeah. Medical waste.
And him and his passenger, his coworker, constantly his mustached coworker, they're constantly talking about vaguely homoerotic story?
Not very vague, but yeah.
He's co-piloted by a very disguised Jonathan Mayer.
Which is hilarious.
Who
slightly disappointing because it means I can't completely hate him now.
Yeah, because that was...
It was funny.
It almost made the movie. It kicked it off well and it wrapped it up so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do we talk about their reappearance at the end?
No, we didn't really.
Do we? Should we?
It's just a bit. There's like, no, that's for you, audience.
Okay.
Because it kind of triggers the whole movie and wraps it up. So let's just leave that in the air. Does that sound fun?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think we need to wreck that one for them.
I love that they got them. I don't know how they got them. Is John Mayer an actor? Everything he's done.
He's a real D-bag.
I don't know about
and
that.
And it was all ad-lib, too, I think. I would imagine, because of the blooper reel.
It had a blooper reel in this movie. Yeah. Another amazing... Like, I don't usually dig those.
It was good.
Yeah, it was great. This movie is great. That's all.
Yeah.
And that's why I give it a 6.6. Although it's juvenile, it's somehow charming enough to be really, really fun.
Yeah, I give it obviously higher than you guys because I'm always nicer, except for with the film that shall not be named.
Uh-huh.
I give it a 7.2.
Okay, yeah. Really high up there.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's as good as I can probably rate a horror movie that doesn't either scare me really terribly or... wow me to the degree that What We Do in the Shadows did.
And they also, I feel like they could have had more Beaver double entendre jokes. They couldn't have had any more.
There's a lot of Beaver double entendres, and then they call themselves out on it, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well-written, well-paced, everything.
I think this movie is as good as B-movies get in a very positive way. I love B-movies, and I think this is kind of the peak of the art.
You think it's going to top Swarm?
I don't know.
Guess we're gonna find
Time
out.
Will tell.
We're gonna find out in the future in another edition of Fright Day.
Because that's also a time that we will be podcasting.
Exactly.
In the future.
You understand how the show works.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
You wanna kick you just wanna end without answering the question that we got, huh?
Questions!
Yeah.
Kelly just squeed because there are questions.
Okay. And if you have a question for us, we'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments, recommendations for movies we should watch and review on the show. You can send all of those emails our way, contact@frightday.com, or just hit us up on Twitter @frightday. This one is from Luke. He says, besides the music on the cast, what songs get you super spooked /you hear and pee your pants? Then he says, #HalloweenPlaylist ideas.
Oh, well, tell him first of all to check out Sam's playlist. We need to refer him to that.
Oh, I don't even think that's up on the new site. But
yeah, we got to get that up there because I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
Most of the music Sam listens to, I would say a good 50% of the music Sam listens to scares me a lot.
I love Dead Man's Bones. That's spooky fun stuff.
Oh, so good.
Ryan Gosling's band, yes.
So good.
Absolutely.
Oh, Gosling.
Anything off the top of your head, Sam?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you like horror movie themed albums.
Sure, yeah.
Boy, I don't know. I mean, John Carpenter's new album is supposed to be amazing. I can't recommend it. I haven't listened to it yet. But yeah, it's supposed to be fantastic.
I think it's
unused.
I need
to make a mental note.
Unused themes or something? Yeah, or unreleased themes?
Yeah.
Also, there's Sam honestly is the person to talk about this because he listens to so much terrifyingly creepy music, but it creeps me out. I'm sure some people have heard of this band Matmos.
Oh, okay.
That was around a while ago. This is probably a decade ago, but they made an album entirely out of sounds from plastic surgery.
Yeah, that was
fun. And
it's
real creepy to listen to. Interesting, very cool experimental music, but real creepy. And the song at the end of the podcast, I know he said besides the music on the podcast, but the song at the end of the podcast is like one of the scariest songs ever for me.
The Scream soundtrack?
It's a great soundtrack.
With Nick Cave, Red Hand.
Well, even like, and they've been covering that a lot. Was that on the trailer for Crimson Peak? What was it?
I don't think so.
They have a spookier version of Red Right Hand. I don't know what it was on. But even like the main theme that they made for Scream, I've been listening to a lot. It's really good.
I believe it. It's a great movie.
Off the top of my head, I can't really think of anything else. Ghost? Have you ever heard of that band?
I love ghosts.
Good. He's obsessed with ghosts.
I have actually on my Halloween playlist from last year, I have Ritual by Ghost as one of my...
Really?
Yeah.
They're so fun. I think they're scarier to look at than they are to listen to.
And they're totally... it's an over-the-top persona.
That's amazing.
They don't appear anywhere else other than in costume. They won't admit who they are offstage. They're all from different Swedish metal bands. And he's been outed. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they've Papa had two Emeritus different singers, too. Right?
Nope. Same really? One, but they just had a kind of like a fake changeover from Holy Papa fuck. Emeritus to Papa Emeritus 2.
It's so weird.
Yeah, Ghost is great. And again, they take kind of like this movie we watched tonight. They do not take themselves, other than musically, they're very professional, but they don't take themselves seriously as far as the satanic imagery and some of the things that make it so much fun.
Oh, it's super fun. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. Honestly, check out Sam's playlist.
We'll repost that if we haven't at some point. I guess it doesn't make sense to have post a Halloween soundtrack now, but...
It's almost Halloween half year.
Cool. Let's celebrate Halloween half year. That is all for questions this week. I'd love to hear from you guys. That'd be super cool.
We really would. And we really appreciate everybody who's listening. We really, really do.
It means a lot.
It means a ton.
It does. And thanks for the questions and movie recommendations.
I'm
halfway through Frontiers.
Yeah.
Per recommendation, and I'm finishing it soon. So thanks to Twitter follower @Rainyars. Apologize for the pronunciation on that for the recommendation there.
Yeah, it was right.
Yeah, I really like it so far.
I really like you guys so far. 18 deep, and I
the verdict's still out for me.
I'm okay with this. I'm okay with
I think you two are just swell.
I'm okay with keeping doing this.
I like you guys.
Kelly?
Yes.
Where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at Kelly Fright Day on Twitter, and you can always send me emails about Captain Kelly's cryptids and conspiracies.
No, Captain we're done.
Or anything done. Else.
Remember where I said I was okay with us? Come on now.
Captain Kelly's cryptids and conspiracies.
Oh, God.
So that's just kelly@frightday.com if you want to email me.
You sure it's not captainkelly@frightday.com?
I might have to change it.
Sam, how about you?
I am on Twitter @SamFrightDay and email @sam@frightday.com. And there's a lot of @s in there.
And I am @ByronMcCoy on Twitter, and Byron@FrightDay.com is my email address. What are we going to watch next week, you guys? It could be Ghoul. It could be It Follows. Who knows? Follow us @FrightDay on Twitter. And until next week, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Sam.
Stay scared.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Sorry, everybody.
For who?
I apologize.
What? Why?
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Okay.